This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
You're listening to The Morning Run with Lynn, Julian and Shaoning. 9:17 in the morning, Wednesday the 23rd of October. And let's take a look first at how markets are doing now.
Oh, wow. The market has gone down like 7 points more, I think, to
15, practically 70. An earthquake happening.
0.2% down, same as Singapore as well. Korea is down just slightly under 0.1%. And Australia is down 0.33%. Bumi Armada, what's happening there? 5% up this morning. The most active stock with 127 million shares being traded.
Well, there was a big fall yesterday over some news on the North Sea with regards to their platforms, which apparently Bumi Armada was involved in building, but that has been clarified. So maybe that's why you see the share price going up again today.
Correcting itself a little bit. But of course, so taking a look at some corporate reports this morning, they say good things come in small packages, and similarly, good investment opportunities can sometimes be found in small cap stocks. Now, according to the RHB 2019 Jewels report on a top small cap companies in Malaysia, on a year-to-date basis, the FBM small cap index grew by almost 20%, outperforming the KLCI, which dropped by 7%.
Now, the RHB report also identified some winners among the small cap companies. 4 out of 9 were from the technology sector, while the rest came from construction, consumer, utilities and property. So clearly, there are gems out there on the Malaysian stock market. You just maybe need to do a bit of elbow grease work to find these names, and they are not found in the KLCI.
So for more on this, we have on the line with us Lee Homing, Senior Research Analyst with RHB Investment Bank. Thank you for joining us, Homing. Now, the FBMSC Index has outperformed the KLCI by 27% on a year-to-date basis. Why is this the case this year?
Well, we believe the relatively stronger performance of our small cap index comes against the backdrop of our lackluster earnings growth by large cap companies. And that is not surprising, as if you notice, all the index heavyweight sectors such as banks, plantations, as well as telcos are having a tough 2019, which they are dragged by issues such as OPR cut for the former, soft palm oil prices, as well as industry reforms on the telcos. I think coupled with lacking major catalysts as well as a foreign outflow, the interest in the KLCI is found wanting. In fact, if you were to notice our RHP exclude CI basket, we are forecasting it to grow at about 8% in FY19. If we compare to RHP, our FBM KLCI basket, we are forecasting it to have a negative 6.1% growth.
Now, the small cap index forward PE ratio is 16 times. This is the same as the main market, the FBM KLCI. Does this go against the conventional wisdom that the small caps should be actually cheaper given their higher perceived risk than the main market?
No doubt. The small cap index is now trading at a similar forward PE to the FBM KLCI. It may not look as attractive on the front, but I think everything we have to look at a relative basis. If you look at the expected growth on the small caps, it's actually at a double digit, while the expected growth for FBM KLCI is about nominal 3 to 5% in FY20. And regionally, if you look at a market like Singapore, Thailand, Taiwan, and even if you look at the MSCI Asia Pacific X Japan Index, all the small cap index actually trading at higher PE than of the main market. And if I would look slightly deeper, I think in the market such as India, Korea, China, the small cap index is just like 1 to 2 times behind the main market. Hence, I think largely investors still believe there are hidden jewels with a solid growth outlook as well as strong balance sheet at a relatively cheap valuation in this space.
So Meng Hong, based on your report, what then are your top 3 picks in the small cap space and why?
Well, we do not specifically spell out the top 3 picks, but it's not too difficult to notice that we like the tech space in this year's pick. With about 5 out of 20 names are from the tech-related sectors. I believe it's because of the sector relative cheaper valuations after the slumps towards the end of last year. Personally, we like PandaMasters due to technology as revenue group. PandaMaster was it's because of the wider adoption of increasing content with sensors and also a PE rating on the back of consistent strong results as well as high revenue base. They are basically the top equipment makers in Malaysia in revenue terms. whereas for Tuvu Technology, we believe, contrary to what market believes on the HDD shipments downtrend, they should benefit from riding on the demand of storage solutions as well as enterprise and data center infrastructure. And the best part was it was only trading at a trailing P of 7 to 8 times back then. And on the third one, I guess on revenue group, we see them as a proxy to rising adoption of e-payment. And they will greatly benefit from the growth in e-commerce as well as tourist spending and the growing sales of EDC terminals.
But then what would you say are the risks when it comes to investing in small cap stocks like these?
Well, you know, with higher returns always come with a greater risk. Well, there are a couple of risks. With the more general ones, such as earning disappointment, then it will greatly undermine the growth expectation for the space. For others, specifically to the small cap space, we may see worsening economic conditions, especially on the backdrop of slower economic growth globally. This may drive investors into the big cap space, which is perceived to be safer compared to small caps. Other than that, we also see some liquidity issues. We may also compound any fund outflow. We also pointed out in a report that potential any inflection in the big cap stocks earnings or the change in the FX macro may also tweak the expectations for the MYR to appreciate, and then it will potentially drive the foreign interest in Malaysia equities, in which they usually will center on the large caps.
Thank you very much, Ming Hong. And that was Lee Ming Hong, Senior Research Analyst with RHB Investment Bank. He did mention some names there. Pentamaster, for one. Dufu Technologies. Revenue Group is also on their list of names to watch out for.
Yeah, Revenue Group is another. Is one name that comes up when we talk about the e-wallet space. As we know, the government is giving out 30 ringgit to each person who is eligible, whose income is below 100,000. And Revenue Group does this through they sell these electronic data capture terminals. So they are one of the beneficiaries of e-wallet, because there are how many 47 players of e-wallets out there, right?
Licenses, gazillion. Actual active players is a bit harder to say.
Yeah, I think that top 75% market share is just dominated by the top four. So the rest occupy that slither of 25%. Mm.
But it's interesting to note is that you can make some serious money from small cap stocks. So yes, the backdrop of the KLCI is not positive. It's down 7% year to date. So clearly, for this year, for 2019, a bottom-up stock picking approach is the way to go. I think the market rewards any company which has high growth. And even if the PEs tend to be on the high side too, so you're talking about 16 times, which is in line with KLCI, it seems that the market is prepared to pay for this, because high growth in this low yield environment is actually still very hard to find.
Yeah, there are actually quite a lot of strategies that work in the market over the long term. Small caps being one of them. Of course, the risk, as we mentioned earlier, is quite high as well. So it's quite likely that you would actually select a losing stock as a winning stock, but that's the payoff that you get, right? Higher returns. The other factors that work are, for example, valuations. Cheaper stocks tend to do better over the long term. Some people like dividend stocks over the long term. I'm not sure about that one, because there is that capital volatility to consider as well. But a lot of people like high dividend yield stocks, and momentum, right? Momentum does work as well. Calendar effects. It's better to buy stocks in January than it is in October It's better to buy stocks because the markets fall in October. In January, they go up. So it's very expensive to buy in January.
Yeah, there are many theories that work, and many different investors choose different ones. But at the end of the day, I mean, you do need to do your homework. You know, you need to know what kind of risk you have.
You just invest with a robo-advisor.
Just go with your gut. Just, you know, pull up the thing and point.
Momentum is the factor that has been working over the last 10 years, beating trumping valuation.
Oh, I'm so sad to hear that, because, you know, I do believe a little bit in active portfolio management. I do think that a little bit of homework does help in terms of picking up the right stock.
Yeah. And even just going back to this RHB Jewels report, they did list some of their top five losers, which registered negative returns of 20%. So names like QES Group, Chemical Company of Malaysia, AWC, Dancomec. But even these sometimes are actually still worth watching because RHB is of the opinion that some of them do present some upsides, and perhaps it's just a delay in some of the catalysts actually materialising.
Well, we joke in markets, right? If you hold it long enough, you'll be correct, you know. That's one theory, you know. So you just pray that eventually the price will eventually go up. But of course, that's not the best way to go. It's good to have a look at different kind of investment, different ways to look at stocks. And there's actually no real correct way.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.